Shalom, saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant. So apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a two-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, shalom, saints, and welcome to our Thursday's Searching the Scriptures episode. Today, we are in Jericho, and that is Joshua 6, verses 1 through 27. We're going to be looking at Jericho, the accursed city. And so, certainly want to welcome those of you who are here, those of you who are joining us online. We appreciate you joining in with us at the end of our teaching today. You're going to be given an opportunity to give. You're going to be given an opportunity to ask questions, and you're going to be given an opportunity to receive prayer for those of you who have prayer requests. And you want to send those in to us on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com. Matter of fact, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com,
If you go to the watch section on this page, what you'll see is in the bottom right-hand corner, at least on my screen, there's this chat icon. And if you click that, it'll open up. You can put your information in there, log in, and there you are with us. And from there, you can submit your prayer requests. You can submit your questions. We'll be taking questions and prayer requests from that platform only. And so we certainly encourage you, if you have them, make sure you ask them. And I suspect that this teaching will generate some questions for you. And if, again, if you have prayer requests, you certainly want to submit them there, because that's where we'll also be taking all prayer requests. Amen. Also, our mission, the vision, our mission statement, restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. And then our vision for House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. As a discipleship center, our flagship program, of course, is our Discipleship 101. And you can go and be discipled going through the process of our independent website, which is discipleship101.tv. On that website, everything you need, once you register, you'll have access to all of the teachings, you'll have access to all of the PowerPoints, to all of the transcripts, and you can download the audio and listen to the audio if you so desire. And then, of course, you can request for your exams, your tests, and once you complete this program, I believe, that you'll be able to stand toe-to-toe to any PhD in any denomination and discuss doctrine, a Bible, and know what you're talking about, because this program will thoroughly equip you on your journey with Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings: I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father, as we've assembled ourselves here this evening, we certainly welcome you in the midst of us. We know that we're two or more gathered together, that you are in the midst, and we want to formally acknowledge your presence here today and ask that you will have your way in the midst of us. We pray with your presence, you manifest your healing, you manifest the power of your spirit, that deliverance go forth, healing go forth, captives be set free, blind eyes be opened. Father, those who are stuck in religion, those who are stuck in denominational think, those, Father, who are filled with doctrine that may in itself conflict with your word, we pray for truth to go forth, and for those, Father, who will embrace it, that in every aspect of their lives they will be free. We ask that you forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then create in us clean hearts and renew the right spirit in us. We pray, Father, in Yeshua's name, that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. We thank you for being with our AV team and helping them, Father, that this broadcast will go forth without hindrance. And we thank you for your perfect will being accomplished in the midst of us to your glory. Forgive us of our sins, our transgressions again. And then, Father, have your way in the midst of us. As our desire is to bring honor and glory to you, may you be honored and glorified even in this message today, in Yeshua's name. Amen. So again, today we're going to be talking about Jericho, the accursed city. This is a verse-by-verse study of Joshua. We're in the sixth chapter. We're going to be looking at the 27 verses in this chapter. And in our communication via email. If you're signed up, subscribe to our website, you'll get all of the notifications about our teachings, and even you'll be given the information on the teachings via email. And so if you haven't done that already, please do so. The opening verse of this portion of Joshua informs us that Jericho was completely shut up because of the children of Israel. No one went in and no one came out. For the next 7 days, Jericho and its inhabitants were locked down in fear because of what they had heard of the exploits of Israel and their God, Jehovah. Now, Jehovah gave strict instructions to Joshua to give to the Israelites for their own protection. And the strategy to take Jericho and afterwards the remains of Jericho labeled the city as an accursed city and the contents of the city to be accursed. The only permitted survivors of the city would be a prostitute and her family. And as I was preparing and studying, you know, I'm always amazed, and at times I have to come to the reality that there's a lot about the Most High that I just don't understand. Let me put it that way. And as I see him dealing with different situations with different individuals, it just lets me know and reminds me that none of us can put him in a box. Even though some of us may do some of the same things, the way he deals with us is not always the same. As I think about the kings and how he dealt with Saul, with what he did, and how he dealt with David, and what he did, and how he dealt with Solomon, and what he did, and the priests. And in this particular chapter, we're going to see that the Almighty is going to do some things that, you know, again, for me, it causes me to scratch my head. And what it reminds me of, and I'll say this, is that I'm reminded that it's best to simply obey what Jehovah says, and just, you know, as he said to the, as the prophet told the king Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. To hearken, that's what we want to focus on. And as I look at how Father dealt with these individuals, I'm reminded that he has examples of all kinds. Why he dealt with this person the way he dealt with them, and then he explains some things and some things he don't explain. And so as we go through this particular passage, we're going to see some things that maybe even with you might cause your head to itch. In verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." And we know that the Almighty had put the fear of Israel in the hearts of the nations, the kings, the people. And if you remember back in Jericho, in Joshua chapter 2, when Joshua sent out the spies and they came to Rahab's house, Rahab informed those spies that because of what the Almighty had done with the children of Israel and against their enemies from Egypt all the way to Og and Sion, that the fear had gripped the nations. And now you see a city locked down, and it's going to be locked down, as we're going to discover here, for 7 whole days. Nobody go in the city, nobody come out of the city, and everybody in the city is on high alert because they know that the ones who had destroyed Pharaoh and his army, the ones who had given the cities on the other side of the Jordan to the children of Israel, and the one who was about to give this city to the Israelites, they are shut up in fear. The children of Israel were camped in Gilgal, some distance away out of the sight of Jericho. The people inside of the walled city could not see out, nor could the army of Israel see inside the walled city. Yet Jehovah had put the fear of Israel in the hearts of the people of Jericho and had given Jericho to Israel. Now, for those of you who have seen movies with walled cities, you'll see on some of these walled cities that there is places where guards and watchmen and all of that is there. We don't know if that was the case here with the city of Jericho, but even if it was, these watchmen who may have been on the wall could not see Israel once they went into their camp. However, as Israel would march around the city, maybe they would see them. But even if they did, not one shot was fired, not one arrow was fired, nothing during this entire 7 days. And therefore, we have to come to the conclusion that they were not about to try to defend themselves or even try to rout the children of Israel. In verse 2 it says, "And Jehovah said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." These are the warriors. Now you got a situation where the warriors, along with the king and the people, are all in fear, locked down inside of a city. And I can imagine they were only hoping Israel would just go away. Of course, we know that wasn't the case here. So Jehovah gave Joshua and the children of Israel Jericho, its king, its army, all the inhabitants and animals. However, in order for them to possess the land, they had to follow strict instructions. And this is what you'll see from Genesis all the way into Revelation, that although we may not understand why Father would tell us to do something, it's important to do it, to obey. We may not have the answer as to why he wants us to do this or why he wants us to do that. But one thing's for sure, if he has spoken and we obey him, he will honor us in the process. Verse 3, "And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets." Now, this word compass is to turn about or around or aside or back or forward. And so what you see is this is an encirclement. So they're going to go completely around the city. They're going to circle the city. They're going to encompass it. And then to turn about. Now, Jehovah instructed the people to compass the city for 7 days, which would have also included the Sabbath. And this is one of those things that I found to be interesting. However, when Jehovah delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt after he had given them instructions about Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the first day being a Sabbath, he brought them out of Israel on a Sabbath day. And here he's instructing his people to encompass or compass the city for 7 days, which means that on the Sabbath day, they were marching around the city of Jericho. And verse 5, it shall come to pass, that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now, in this passage, this word for shout, the first word is ruah. It is to shout, to raise a sound, to cry out, to give a blast. Now, the second word for shout is teruah, teruah. This is an alarm, a signal, a sound of tempest. It's a shout, or blast of war or alarm. And basically, it's used 11 times as shout, 8 times as shouting, 6 times as an alarm, 3 times is a sound, 2 times is blowing, 2 is joy, miscellaneous 4, and a total of 36 times. Now, what's interesting about this word teruah is that it is the same word for trumpets as it relates to the seventh month and the first day. In Leviticus 23:24, it says, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And basically, it's a memorial of blowing, because the word for trumpets there is teruah. It's a day of shouting. It's a day of shouting. It's a memorial for shouting, which connects Yom Teruah with Jericho in some way, at least in the form of the use of the word. Verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of Jehovah. And he said unto the people, pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of Jehovah. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horn, passed on before Jehovah and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of Jehovah followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. So if you don't see this, let me paint the picture. There is the armed men, and it doesn't tell us what tribes they're from. Doesn't tell us what tribes they're from. Now, we know that Israel has 12 armies. Israel have 12 armies. And these armies are the 12 tribes. So every tribe has an army that would be in their tribal land. Now, the army consisted of individuals that were 20 years and older and able to go to war. These were individuals that were in fit condition. These were individuals. These was not individuals that had defects or issues that would not permit them to fight. So what you have is you have these armies, and there's 12 armies, and then we don't know if half of them went in before the priests who blew the trumpets, who were before the priests who were carrying the ark. And then after the priests who were carrying the ark was the rearward, which was more armed men. And this is the thing about this particular picture. It doesn't show us what tribes went forth, what armies went forth, how many tribes went forth. All it tells us is that the armed men went before the priests. After that group of armed men, there were the priests who blew the trumpets. And then after the priests who blew the trumpets, there were the ones who carried the ark. And after those who carried the ark were the rest of the army. And they're going around the city. And then the instruction is for 6 days, as they were going around the city, there's no talking, no speaking. Nobody is to open their mouth. It's 6 days of silence. And then it will conclude with one day of shouting. Joshua 6:10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout. You shall not make any noise with your mouth. You shall not allow any words to come out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. And so these are very clear instructions. So there's no talking while they're in rank. There's no talking while they're going around the city. The only thing that is going on during the time that they're going around the city is the priest blowing the trumpets. The priest blowing the trumpets. Now imagine you being inside, and I would have loved to have witnessed this. Being inside this walled city, and all you hear is trumpets. They're going around your city. You know they're out there. And then you don't hear nothing but but trumpets, and these are shofars, and then all of a sudden everything stops. It's just complete silence. Why? Because the children of Israel is going back to camp. Verse 11. So the ark of Jehovah compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. So when the children of Israel weren't marching around the city, they were in the camp resting. But I could imagine that the people inside that city weren't resting, because they just didn't know. They didn't know what was going to happen next. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of Jehovah went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of Jehovah, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day, they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. And so they did 6 days. So this is going on now for 6 whole days. The children of Israel going out from the camp and then coming back to the camp and watching as they're being instructed. And now the children inside the arm, inside the walled city, or the people of Jericho, don't have a clue as to what's going on. Now, these people are supposed to go to sleep. They're supposed to rest. It's nighttime. But I could imagine there's no rest for them. Verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. So now, they get up early. And you got to imagine that the people of Jericho have witnessed this for 6 days, day and night, or while the children of Israel is going around the city. So they're witnessing this, and now here it is on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. So now, here it is to where the children of Israel has kind of got, the children of Jericho, the people of Jericho, have kind of gotten used to, okay, from this time to this time, this is what they did. And from this time to that time, there was nothing. So now, here it is. On this particular day, it's a continual blasting several times, and we don't know how long it took for them to encompass the city, how long it took them to march around the city, but one thing's for sure, we know they marched around it one time for 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day, blowing the trumpet. Verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for Jehovah has given you the city. So here's what we see. We know that Jehovah has given them the city, but they also had to go and take possession of it. That even though they had been given the city, they had a responsibility to possess the city. The city will be a curse. Now, I need you to pay attention to this piece, because verse 17 says, and the city shall be a curse. So what you see here is, by following the instructions, on day one, the city wasn't accursed. On day two, the city wasn't accursed. Day three, day four, day five, day six. In fact, once they shouted, when the children of Israel shouted based on the command that they had been given by Joshua, at that moment, the city became accursed. At that moment, even it and all that are therein. And then he says, this shall be accursed to who? To Jehovah. Now it's important that we see the instruction that Joshua has been given, because Joshua has been given some instructions, and the people need to pay attention to the instructions that they have been given, because they don't even know. They don't even know that based on the instructions, that if you want to see what Jehovah said, you're going to have to be, you're going to have to follow these instructions to the letter. You got to follow these instructions. He says, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to Jehovah. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now, here's something else that's important. And I tried to pay attention to everything that is taking place because of the fact that these are examples for us. Now, if you are a people who reject the Old Testament, then you will reject the examples that are clear before us, because within these examples, there is authority. The first set of authority that I see is that when Joshua sent those spies into the city, who authorized them to negotiate with the prostitute? Joshua had no idea there was a prostitute in the city. You see, he had no idea what was in the city. That's why he's sending spies in, and the spies are going to come back and tell him what happened. Now, while these spies were in that city, they, in their authority as spies, negotiated with the prostitute and then came back and shared that negotiation with Joshua, which became part of the instructions. And when it became part of the instructions, Jehovah honored the negotiation of the spies who negotiated on their own authority. Now, this is important for us, because when we are operating in what Father has given us to operate in, there is a level of authority that we have that we can walk in. There is a level of authority. That's why when I go in a room, I expect every devil in that room to recognize and to bow to the authority that I walk in. I don't have to say nothing. Just walk in the room. When you walk in authority, wherever you go, the devils recognize that authority. If they don't recognize that authority, there's a problem. Because we have been given authority to tread upon what? Serpents, demons. Even Satan himself is under our feet unless we let him loose and start having conversation with him. Now, talking to Satan is like talking to a telemarketer. I'll tell you again. Why? Because here it is. This is an unsolicited conversation. And the unsolicited conversation could lead you to buying something you don't even need. Because the devil will convince you that this is what you want. You need this. You got to have this. And the devil will convince people to not believe what Jehovah said. Remember the first conversation we see the devil on the scene in the form of the serpent in the garden? Did God really say? Because the enemy is there to cause you to wonder or to question whether or not you heard God accurately. Why have this conversation with him? You don't need a second witness from Satan. You don't. if you've been given an instruction by the Most High, you've been given the authority to carry that instruction out. And so what he's saying to Joshua here is, when you shout, then shall the city be accursed. Prior to that, so what is happening here? At the shout comes the accursed city. Even it. And all that are therein to Jehovah. And then Jehovah gives the instructions. Actually, it's not Jehovah, it's Joshua giving the instructions. Who's going to live? And Joshua is given these instructions because of the spies who negotiated this particular covenant. This word shall be, haya. Shall be, haya. It's part of Jehovah's name. It's to exist or to be or become. To exist, to be or become. To come to pass. That when you shout, it shall come to pass. When you shout, it shall come to pass. When you shout, it shall become. When you shout, it shall be. So follow the instructions. The accused, or that should be accursed. Wait a minute. Yeah. Not accused. That's misspelled. It should be accursed. And that accursed is the thing devoted. That's what it means. A devoted thing. A thing devoted. Now, that which is cursed could be a devoted thing for good or for evil. But it's a devoted thing. And what makes it devoted? Because it's accursed to Jehovah. It's accursed to Jehovah. In other words, it belongs to Jehovah and no one else. It belongs to Jehovah and no one else. It's important to see this. A warning now is about to be given. And Joshua instructs them because, of course, everything in the city belongs to Jehovah. And Jehovah gives the instructions as to what happens to it. And he says, and ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing. And notice the repercussion. Lest you make yourselves accursed. See, when you take that which belongs to Jehovah, you make yourself accursed. When you mess with that, when you do not keep what belongs to him from your possessions, because we're going to see in the next chapter, it's going to cost dearly to mess with that which belongs to Jehovah. And you in any wise, he's saying, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest, notice what happens here, because in this particular case, in this situation, what anybody does that is part of the camp not only is going to endanger themselves, but they're going to endanger the whole camp. Notice what he says. Keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Now, it's almost as if, and we can say, well, Jehovah knows, Joshua is following instructions, Jehovah knows all things, he knows the end from the beginning, but it's a warning, says, listen, we're going to go in this city, and you have to think of it from there are times when Israel goes to war and they are given the permission to take spoils. Not in this case. Not in this case. Now, the spoils of war belongs to the conqueror. If you go to war and you defeat the people that you've gone to war with, then now they and all their stuff belongs to you, which you can take as spoil. But here's what Jehovah says. He says, listen, Jericho and everything in it belongs to me. Nothing belongs to you. Now, Joshua is saying to them, don't take nothing. Don't set nothing aside. Don't take it amongst yourselves because it's all accursed. But it's accursed to Jehovah, which is strange. It's strange because Jehovah now is taking, he's saying, this is what he's saying, it's accursed if you mess with it because it belongs to me. It's not accursed in my possession. It's accursed in your possession. So it's an accursed thing unto him, you see. It's not an accursed thing per se altogether, only accursed to you. Why? Because it's accursed to Jehovah, and he said, don't take it. So keep yourselves away from it. Don't take it. When you take of it, if you do take of it, just know that if you take this, it's going to create some problems for you, and it's going to create some problems for us. The word trouble here says this problem, this curse, and trouble it, what is it going to occur? What is it going to trouble? Notice what it says. When you take up the cursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse, by you taking it, Israel is going to be troubled. And again, we're going to see that play out. That trouble is going to cause trouble, is going to make trouble, is going to stir some things up, is going to disturb them. It's just going to be trouble. So don't touch it. Don't take it. Leave it alone. Everything in the city was accursed unto Jehovah except Rahab the harlot and all that are with her in the house. All that are with her in the house. Now, if you've been paying attention, as we've been encouraging you to do, from Joshua 1 all the way up to Joshua 6, where we are right now, you'll know that the negotiation of the spies in Rahab occurred in Joshua chapter 2. And there were some specific instructions that were given. Rahab was the head of her house. Now, what you're going to see in these instructions is that Rahab didn't live with her father and mother. Rahab had her own house. Her father and mother lived somewhere else, and her brother and sisters or sisters. And so Rahab was the head of her house. Everyone in her house was safe. That was the agreement with her and the spies. And here you'll see in Joshua 2:17, and the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Now, if you remember, when the spies came into the city, they went to Rahab's house. For whatever reason, I still haven't figured out. But they ended up at a prostitute's house. And the prostitute knew who they were. Yeah, she knew who they were. And she said, listen, we know y'all coming. And we know what you're going to do. And all of the men in this city, everybody is scared to death. Their hearts have faint. They're like faint as unto death. In other words, they're scared to death. But here's what I need. Now, I know, because she's saying, listen, if I turn you guys in, then that's it. But here's what she's thinking. If I turn you in, y'all dead. They're going to send some more spies, or they're just going to come and get us, and we're all going to be dead. So I'm going to save your life, but I need you to save my life. But not only my life, I need you to save my family. And here's what they swore. It says, behold, this is the agreement. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And notice, and here's how we know that her parents didn't live with her. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy father's household home unto thee. In other words, you gather them and they all need to move in your house. Because your house is the only house in all of Jericho that's going to be saved. But you also need to distinguish your house from all the other houses, and that's where this scarlet robe comes in. So when we come into the city, if your mom and your daddy is in another house, they're going to be dead. If your brethren is in another house, they're going to die with all of Jericho. So it's important for you to get all your family into your house. Now, if you like me, I'm watching what's going on in this city. If I was in Jericho, everything that moved, I would have been watching. And I certainly would have been watching if I saw. Now, let's back up some. Because the king knew that the spies had went to Rahab's house. Right? Why? Because he sent men to Rahab's house. Right? He sent these men. If you go back and read Joshua chapter 2, Rahab told them, listen, they did come to my house, but they left before the gates were shut. The whole time they were up on the roof. So, the men was sent on a wild goose chase by Rahab. They found nothing. Now, the king knew that the spies had come to Rahab's house. The men who went to Rahab's house knew that the spies had come to Rahab's house. The city is shut up in fear. And all of a sudden, you see a family with their belongings moving into Rahab's house. Now, you got to think about this for a moment, too. Why didn't they stay together before? Well, all of a sudden, now they're moving to Rahab's house, and she's a prostitute. Something's going on here. And this is the agreement. You better bring them into your house. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. So now, all of the armies of Israel, because this is a chaotic scene, and you gotta envision what's going on here, because you have this entire army surrounding this city, and all of a sudden there's going to be a tremendous amount of noise from all the shouting. And on top of the noise from all the shouting is the crumbling of the walls that is going to be a noise all by itself. And then these men that are about to go in and begin to destroy the people of the city have no idea that these individuals are armed or unarmed or how, what kind of, so it's chaos. And yet in their head, they not only have to go forth and fight and destroy except one house in the whole city, and the whole army has to be aware of that one house with the scarlet robe. Now, I just want you to see the length that the Almighty is going to go to along with Joshua, the instructions that he's given to these two spies, who now he's instructing the whole army and everybody who's about to go into battle to protect a prostitute and her family. I mean, it gives whole new meaning to his eyes on the sparrow. All the silver gold, brass, and iron are consecrated unto Jehovah. Now notice this, verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated. Now notice what he says. He says, when you shout, the city will be accursed. The city will be accursed unto who? Unto Jehovah. So even though the city is accursed, the brass, the iron, the silver, and gold in this accursed city is consecrated. Consecrated unto who? Jehovah. And then he says, they shall come into the treasury of Jehovah. Now, what's interesting about this verse and this particular word, treasury, is the treasury is the storehouse. The treasury is the storehouse. It's treasure. It's gold. It's silver. It's store. It's supplies of food or drink. And I'm pointing this out because you'll notice that when I pray, especially during the time of tithing, I ask Father to cause the windows of heaven, the blessings of heaven, and the treasures of heaven to manifest in our midst. Now, basically, I'm asking the Almighty to give us access to his storehouse. Now, here's the mindset of people, some mindset of people concerning tithe. Because there are people who are convinced that the storehouse is a place for produce. The storehouse is a place for wheat and grain. And they paint some picture. If you go out into the country to where you have somebody who harvests grain and you see these big old grain containers, they get the idea that that is a storehouse because they've created this image that comes from grain storehouses that they are familiar with. However, in many of these individuals' minds, the storehouse is a place for grain, is a place for produce, and they can envision that in the same storehouse with the grain and the produce and the fruit, there is treasures. The treasury is the same for storehouse in Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithe into what? The treasury, the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, food, and prove me now, not only food, but money to go buy food. And prove me now herewith, saith Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I point this out because the same word here in Malachi 3:10 for storehouse is the same word, and that should be storehouse. It's the same word if you go back to treasury. The treasury and the storehouse is one and the same. It's the Hebrew otsah, treasure, storehouse. And the treasure could be gold, silver, and in this case, it's not only gold, silver, but it's gold, silver, vessels of brass, and iron. The silver, the gold, the brass, and iron went into the storehouse of Jehovah. And then, as I noted again, there was no spoil for Israel. This would be a battle that Israel would go into, and the only rescue is Rahab and her house, but all the gold, all the silver, all the brass, and all the iron belongs to Jehovah. And these individuals go into battle and they come back with nothing as spoil. Verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with great joy, or with the great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went out into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now again, reading this, it takes, unless you employ your imagination, you cannot see the chaos that's going on right now or at this particular time. Because I'm just looking at this chaotic scene to where the only people who have guidance and direction that we know of is the army of Israel. And they have two missions, actually three. Destroy everything in the city except for Rahab and her family, and then to take all of the gold, silver, brass, and iron. They took the city, verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. They killed every man. They killed every woman. They killed every child. They killed every senior citizen. They killed every ox. They killed every sheep. They killed every ass. They killed it. They destroyed it. And on top of that, and here it says, they killed it with the edge of the sword. Everything was destroyed except Rahab's house, the silver, the gold, the brass, the iron that went into Jehovah's storehouse. And then it says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. So now we see Joshua and Jehovah honoring the two spies who negotiated on their own authority. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. So they brought them out of the city. They got them safe outside the camp of Israel. Not in the camp, it says outside or without the camp of Israel. And then the next thing they did is they burnt the city with fire. They burnt the city with fire. And all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of Jehovah. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And notice, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, which at the time this was written, Rahab was still living. Because she had hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And this I find to be extremely fascinating. Rahab, a harlot, not only a harlot, but a Canaanite, joined herself with her family and her family to Israel and became one with Israel. Now remember, all of the Canaanites was supposed to be destroyed. But this cunning woman not only had the insight to negotiate with spies and to hide them and then to deceive the men who were sent by the king to save her and to save her father's household. Not only that, she eventually married an Israelite named Salmon and gave birth to a son named Boaz and became the great-great-grandmother of David the king. Now, this again is one of those things, because I know that Father had given strict instructions to Moses concerning harlots. He'd given strict instructions about harlots that there would not to be any in Israel. Now, I would dare say, based on what took place at Jericho, that that was her last days in harlotry. That her career as a prostitute ended in Jericho. We find her in Matthew chapter number 1, verse 5. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Now, this is the thing that I don't get sometimes with translations. Because when you get into the New Testament, we now is taking the words from the Hebrew into the Greek. And here, it seems like the Greek form of Rahab is Rahab or Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse. And I say this because Rahab is mentioned by her name as it is in the Old Testament, the same way in the New Testament. And if you simply read the New Testament without knowing the history of the Old Testament, this person in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, you would not connect her with Rahab. Why? Because her name is not the same. It doesn't spell the same. And so anybody who doesn't know the history will not know that this person in Matthew chapter 1 verse 5 is the same person that the spies came and encountered in Matthew chapter 2 and that is now being saved, in Joshua chapter 2, that is now being saved in Joshua chapter 6. But Rahab is mentioned, and notice that she goes from a prostitute to being a woman of faith and a righteous woman. Tell me a person can't change their ways. Rahab is mentioned as a woman of faith who put her faith in action and justified or made righteous by her works. In fact, it's interesting that the category they're going to put Rahab in the same category that they put Abraham in. So notice this. Hebrews chapter number 11. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, what the Hebrew writer is saying here is that the children of Jericho, the people of Jericho, didn't believe that the Israelites were going to come in and destroyed them. That's what this is saying. They didn't believe. Yet Rahab believed. The other thing you'll see is that they thought they would be saved being in a fortified city that no one could get in. Now, I would dare say that had the king, and this is just me thinking out loud, if Rahab negotiated and were saved, what if the king had negotiated? Is it possible that had the king, instead of locking themselves up in a fortified city, sent delegates to negotiate with Joshua and agreed to whatever terms that just like Rahab and her household were saved, that they possibly could have been saved. But I'll tell you something about people. that I've noticed. People, once they become of a certain mindset, once they think a certain way, it's very difficult to get them to change. There are people that are convinced of certain things, and no matter what you say, no matter what you show them, no matter how much truth you give them, they remain in that stubborn, obstinate state of mind. The evidence is right there in front of them. They won't change. See. And then there are other people. And this is why I believe Yeshua says that when you're dealing with these individuals, you got to know when to shake the dust. Because you can give them your time and it'd be like casting pearls among swine. You talk to them and talk to them until you're blue in the face and they still reject what you have to say. They'll nod their heads and then do whatever they're going to do. And I'm still amazed at how many whores, whoremongers that go to church every Sunday. And some go to Messianic synagogue. And some go to Hebrew Roots assemblies. And they live together and they sleep together and they have sex like they're married and they're not married. And they think that because they're in church or they're in synagogue or they're in assembly, that their fornication or their adultery is not going to be the same as some sinner who fornicates and commits adultery who don't go to church. For some reason, they think that by going to church, going to synagogue, or going to assembly, that saved them. I was having a conversation with my brother earlier this week. And my brother was telling me about, you know, he's in his 70s, and he's retired, and he's got these women in his apartment, and they're all, you know, eyeing him, and you know he take care of some of them in the sense of physical, sexual, and he's talking to me, and it's like, okay, you done forgot who you're talking to, because I'm not impressed by your your male prowess. And so I'm saying to him, brother, don't you know that fornicators and adulterers will not inherit the kingdom? I mean, what's the point of going to church? Oh, I go to church. I go to church. I go to church. I got two or three churches that I go to. There's a church in my building. And I had to remind my brother, I said, brother, going to church don't make you saved. Just because you go to church don't make you saved. You're committing fornication. You got an ex-wife. You're an adulterer committing fornication and probably adultery with somebody else's wife, and you think going to church is going to cause the Almighty to overlook or not see any of that? I don't think so. And yet there are people who are faithful to church going and tithing, but living contrary to what the word of Jehovah says. Because they believe that they got saved one day, and no matter what they do, they will be saved no matter what. And I've come to the conclusion, because when I listen to these preachers, when I listen to ministers, preachers don't preach hellfire and brimstone no more. They preach prosperity and try to give the coaches, they're coaching people on how to live their best life. Well, how can you live your best life in sin? You can't do that. But sin is not an issue because you can't judge. That's up to God. So don't judge people. Don't. It's like, wait a minute. You'll know a tree by its fruit. James says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And that word justified there is to render righteous. To render righteous. And then the next verse says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot rendered righteous by her works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. You can have faith to go to church, but if you don't have faith to stop fornicating and to stop lying and to stop committing adultery, then there's no works to your faith. In fact, if you're doing those things, that's what's called dead works. And people who are going to do the work of God has to repent from dead works. Hebrews chapter 6. You got to repent from dead works. Verse 26, Joshua chapter 6. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man. Cursed be the man before Jehovah that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. And what is he saying? That if a man tries to build this city and he's got two boys, his firstborn and his youngest son, it's going to cost them their lives. Why? Because cursed. Joshua puts a curse on whoever puts or attempts to build this city, Jericho. Now, believe it or not, somebody did try to do that. And that word cursed, arah, to curse, in 1 Kings 16:33, in the days of King Ahab, Joshua's curse came to pass. And Ahab made a grove. Now, Ahab was an idolater. He was a king. He married Jezebel. Jezebel's father was a priest. He was a priest in occult religion, idolatry. And here it is. Ahab was a wicked king, and in his kingdom was wicked people. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke Jehovah, God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of Jehovah, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. So when he tried to build that city, it cost him his boys. Verse 27. So Jehovah was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. In other words, when Jericho came down, every nation heard of it, and his fame was noised. In other words, the word was spread. Some could have thought it was a rumor. Others thought it to be fact based on previous information and the fact that the Most High had put the fear of Israel in the heart of the people. But we're going to see as we go through Joshua chapter 7 and 8 that even though Jehovah may put the fear of you in somebody's heart, that what can cause you to still be defeated, even though you're supposed to be a conqueror, is when you allow something to come between you and the Almighty, and that's called sin. Father in heaven, we thank you for our time here today. We thank you for this study on Joshua, the lessons that are there. Help us to glean from these lessons and show us how to apply these lessons in our lives in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. So, that is of Joshua chapter 6. Next week, Father willing, we'll proceed to Joshua chapter number 7. Are there any comments, any questions? Well, let's give opportunity to give. For those of you who would like to support our ministry, if you're online, you can certainly support our ministry there on Arthur Bailey Ministries at ArthurBaileyMinistries.com. If you go there and go to the donate on the menu bar, the donate link, and click that link, it'll bring you to how you can support us there online, ways that you can give, and you can use the first five ways to where you can support us through Zelle, Venmo, Cash App, Bill Pay. You can send check or money order in the mail and other ways that you can give. And if you live outside the United States other than Canada, then you can use PayPal to support us. You can wire funds. You can call into our toll-free number, or you can even text to give. I think that may work outside the United States. If you live in Canada, then the Canadian donation link, and there if you use that link, your contribution there in Canada will also be tax deductible through the Canadian Revenue Service when you file your taxes there in Canada. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity for individuals to support our ministry, and we pray that none lack as a result of their giving. To the contrary, cause the windows of heaven, the treasures of heaven, the blessings of heaven to manifest in the midst of them. Cause your people to see the manifestations of your blessings. And then not only bless us, but make us a blessing and show us who we may be a blessing to your glory in Messiah. Amen. Amen. Any comments, questions?
We have one question from Delma. Shalom, saints.
Shalom, Delma.
Apostle, I was thinking, did Rehab bring her family in her house as soon as the spies left, or do you think she waited until Israel came into the land?
I would dare say that she probably did it. I mean, it doesn't tell us, but I know that based on the conversation that she had no idea when the attack would come. Nobody knew except Joshua. They didn't know they had 7 days. Because when you look at it from day one, after the spies returned, and, well, she told them to wait a certain amount of time until the men who went looking for her or went looking for them came back, and then they could make their way back to their camp. So I think that was like 3 days before they, when they went and hid in the mountain and then made their way back to camp. But as much as she had is 3, maybe 4 days. Because after that, the encampment or the encircling started. Now, being she seemed to be a person who didn't dilly-dally, I would dare say that time was for her of the essence. So when she did it, we don't know for certain, but she didn't know when the war was going to take place. And I would dare say that if it was me, it would have been immediately. Is that it? All right. No other comments? Prayers? Okay. Then we'll bring this portion to a close. Father in heaven, we thank you again for our time together. We pray that you continue to be with us and show yourself mighty in the midst of us. We pray, Father, that you continue to reveal your truth to us, that we may become free in every area of our lives. Show us where we lack. Show us where we're stubborn. Show us where we're obstinate. Show us where we're disobedient. Show us where we're dragging our feet and procrastinating. And then help us, Father, that we will be diligent in doing your will, turning away from that which is displeasing to you, and committing our ways to be pleasing to you in every aspect of our being. Thank you for your loving kindness and your mercy, and not dealing with us according to our wrongdoings, according to our sin. Bring us to that place to where our lives are dedicated wholly, like Joshua and Caleb was accused of being, who followed you wholly. Cause us to be a people who will follow you wholly, wholly committed to your will and your way, in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right. With that said, announcements. Announcements. Today is day 33 of the Count Up to Pentecost, which starts at sunset today. We're looking for ways to mature in your spiritual walk. Then you can check out our resources on our website there. If you go to our website, ArthurBaileyMinistries.com, and you'll find under the watch section, there's academic training, which is where our discipleship, leadership, ministers 1-2, and our Hebrew roots information on that. You can watch the live stream there. You can see teachings by topic, teachings by title, video podcasts. If you look at Read, you'll find that there are Ask Arthur blogs, conversations, blogs, free ebooks you can download, and then teaching reviews you can read on certain topics. And then if you're a person who likes to listen, you can listen to podcasts, you can watch video podcasts, you can download those and listen on your commute. Those are all resources that we've made available, and they're all free. Don't cost you anything to take advantage of that. Pentecost is June 8th, and we'll be celebrating here at 1 p.m. We've got banners on our website and then in the weekly emails, and we encourage you, if you haven't, to RSVP for our Pentecost service on June 8th at 1 p.m. And then we're turning this into a Pentecostal weekend to where on Friday we're going to be gathering here those who have workshops. There's painting with the saints, and then there's a home ownership 30-minute, which is by I think it's by appointment only. Now, there was a canning workshop, and due to unforeseen circumstances, that will no longer be, but we'll keep you abreast if there are any other who are interested in attending or conducting a workshop. Please contact us. And then finally, tomorrow night, our Sabbath premiere is the Founding Fathers, and this will be part 3, dealing with Noah's son, Shem. Then on Sabbath, Nothing But the Blood, we're going to be discussing Hebrews chapter 9 and the 28 verses that is associated with chapter 9 of Hebrews. And so we got much for you to engage yourself in, much for you to get, you know, equipped to train, all of these free materials that are at your disposal. And I encourage you to take full advantage of them, because that's why we put the time and the energy and the effort to make them available. And we removed payments, so there's no restriction on how much it costs. They're free. All it's going to cost you is time. And so we encourage you to use your time wisely, invest in yourself, build your faith in your walk with Messiah Yeshua. Amen. With that said, we're going to bless you, and we'll call it a night. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Well, thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining in with us. We certainly can't do what we do without you. Your prayers and your support are greatly needed and greatly appreciated. And we look forward to seeing you for our Sabbath premiere on Friday, our Sabbath service, 11 o'clock a.m. on Saturday. And so until Shabbat, Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:9-10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.